Romans chapter number 12. Today we're going to be talking about the whole summer. The whole summer was about how to be different, that we would make a difference. And the last one I want to talk about today is how our attitude when things happen to us that are unfair in life, or when people wrong us, or when we're hurt, how we react can make a difference. How we react to the actions of others and how we can relate to them. And we'll get context here in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 17. If you would, look with me in your Bibles. It says in Romans verse 17, chapter 12, it says, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And then look at the last verse. It says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And if we can do good to those who don't do good to us, we can make a difference in the lives of others, in the lives of those who are around us. You know, because you think about the world and you think, you know, we talk about it in the Old Testament how it was. You know, it was an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. And if someone wronged you, our natural instincts is to get them back. They're going to pay for it. You know, they hurt me, and so I'm going to inflict as much pain as they did to me, even more if I can. But we see here the new covenant, what the Bible calls us to do, how the Bible calls us to bless those that curse us. And if you turn your Bibles, this is what Jesus says, and it's Matthew chapter number 5. And then I'll just read this and then I'll pray and then we'll get right into it. Matthew 5 and verse number, let me see if I can find it. I think it's 43. Verse 43 of Matthew 5, it says, "And ye have heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But Jesus says this, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And look why, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute only your brethren, what do ye more than others? Do even the publicans so?" And it says, "Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And that word perfect, of course, means mature. For in this life, we're never going to be perfect like God is perfect. But that is the joy and hope we have of heaven, that we would be perfect like him. But let's pray and let's get right into it, how we can make a difference in how we react to the unfair treatment of others. Shall we pray? Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessing and privilege it is to know your word and to be able to talk to you even now. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint this time. May you open the ear of the hearer and the heart of the hearer, and may you empower me as one to deliver the word of God. And may it be a help, and may we be different as a result, that it would cause those who are around us to see that difference, to want to know why, and to come to the saving knowledge of you, Christ. Well, thank you for all that you do. We love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life is contrary to popular opinion. And you think about it, in the world we live in, everything's about being politically correct. You know, everything's about not offending people and doing things in such a way that we don't hurt anybody. And we don't step on anyone's toes. You know, the Christian life is also contrary to our sinful nature. It's also contrary to our carnal tendencies. and it goes against our natural reaction. Yet God calls us to be different, like I said, that we would make a difference. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, in line with what we just read, it says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." It says, "See that you don't render evil for evil unto any man." But the Bible calls us to ever follow that which is good. And when you think about it, if you look back into your past, and everyone's been hurt from one degree to another. Everyone's been, maybe it's a broken promise, maybe it's a unfaithfulness, or maybe it's, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Maybe it's a bad business deal. And someone wronged you and hurt you very bad. Our natural instincts, our carnal nature is to get them back. It's, man, they're going to pay for it. But the crazy part is God calls us as His followers, as His children, as Christians, to do that. Total opposite. And for us in our flesh, it's like, you want me to bless the people that are cursing me? You know, I think about, there was a time where I was going out witnessing, and it's right after I got saved, and I would go to Walmart, and I would stand in front of Walmart and pass out tracts. And I was just kind of crazy. But you'd meet some interesting people. And I'm even out soul winning if you knock on doors or even passing out tracts just, you know, through our day-to-day life, which we ought to do as Christians just to be a witness. We can't always witness to everybody, but, you know, we can give them a tract, do something. But I remember there are times that people would just scoff at you. You know, they'd say stuff that you don't want to repeat. You know, and in and of our flesh, we want to curse them. You know, if someone curses us and someone says, "Why do you believe in that Jesus and this and that?" and you fill in the blank, we want to say, "Well, tell me how hot hell is." You know, we don't want to bless them. We don't want to say, "Well, the Lord bless you. Jesus loves you." You know, but God calls us that we would be different from the world, because that's exactly what the world would do. That's exactly what we would do in our flesh, is curse those that curse us, is repay evil for those that do evil to us. But yet God calls us to do contrary, to do the total opposite. And when I think about that, it's like it rubs you the wrong way, because we want people to pay. You know, we love to get grace, right? If we fail, it's like, "Man, forgive me." Oh, okay. But then we find it really hard to give grace. You know, it's very easy for us to receive it, but then to give it, we can be back to the law and say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, and I'm going to love my neighbor, but I'm going to hate my enemy, like the Bible says. But that's the Old Testament. And God calls us in the New Covenant to love those that hate us, to do good to those that do evil to us. And the crazy thing is to pray for those that persecute us and despitefully use us, that abuse us. And when I think about that, I think about our Lord. You know, when He was on the cross, and the people were scoffing at Him, saying, "If thou be the Son of Man, bring thyself, save thyself." You know, and they parted His lots, and they mocked Him, and they ridiculed Him, and they scoffed Him. But yeah, you remember what our Lord said on that cross before He died. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if I were to ask you that question today, maybe someone wronged you this past week. Maybe someone hurt you very bad in the past, and maybe in your childhood, maybe growing up, maybe in a business deal, you fill in the blank. But if I asked you the question, are you in the place, or have you reacted in the past, or if you were to be wrong today, would you be one of blessing or one of cursing? Would you be like Jesus? And would you be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do? And would you be one to pray for those that despitefully persecute you or abuse you? Because that's what we're going to look at today. I want to show you three commands from Christ that call us to be different in our attitudes when, frankly, when life happens. Because life isn't fair. But it's not our circumstances, but it's what we do with those circumstances. It's our attitude through them. And I want to show you just three simple commands from Christ that calls us to be different in our attitude when life happens, that we would be, that we would walk in this world in such a way that people would be like, man. You know, because when someone does, you know, you think about a crazy psycho, I think of like, you know, college people growing up, even in high school, you'll do pranks and then the other person will get you back, and like it gets crazy how you can watch videos on like Facebook or YouTube, and it like, you know, people get crazy. Like they start doing some crazy stuff, you know. But what it is, what is it? It's revenge. It's, man, I'm going to get you back. But Christ calls us to be different. And when someone does something wrong, it's like, man, yeah, let's see what they're going to do to me. Wouldn't it be so awesome if someone were to wrong us that instead of repaying them evil for evil, that our testimony would be that of blessing toward them? How much do you think that would speak to an unsaved person? You know, and of course, it's speaking primarily every time when it's talking, it's referring to the body of Christ, how we ought to, you know, you think about the Corinthians, how, you know, that they were in such contention with each other that they went to the civil law and they sued each other, you know, and then Paul rebukes them and says, aren't you going to judge the world? You know, how can't you deal with the littlest of matters? How can't you forgive one another and move on and not keep on doing this craziness? You know, but so much the more, if you look in verse number 17, I want you to notice the first command that Christ calls us to do. He commands us to understand that revenge is not ours. Verse 17 of Romans 12 says this. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The Bible says, recompense no man evil for evil. And I kind of got into that introduction, but we ought to recognize that revenge is not ours. You know, for us to if you go to James with me, and this is more of speaking, and our mouth can get us into big trouble. But James chapter number 1, look what it says. Verse number 19. And if your mouth always gets you in trouble, it's a good verse to remember. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, so quick to listen. What does it say? The next phrase. Slow to speak. And then what is the next phrase? Slow to wrath. Why? Look at verse 20. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, when we get angry and when someone wrongs us and when we're hurt, we want revenge. We want them to pay and to feel the hurt that we hurt or the pain that we felt. But yet the Bible says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It worketh not the righteousness of God. So our revenge and our trying to get justice over the matter is not going to do what God's righteousness requires. And to think about that and to understand that we can't solve the problem. And it's the first step to be able to bless somebody. It's recognizing that when they sin, yeah, they sinned against you. But more so, they sinned against the Holy God. And they have to answer to him before you. And what we ought to do is we need to recognize that we ought to be honest. Look at verse 17. It says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, and that of course, you could take that many different ways about how we ought to live honest, how we ought to live transparent, how we ought to live real as Christians in front of the world and not be fake. One person at church, another person at home, another person in the workplace. But I think in the heart of this and where it's speaking to, it's saying be honest in the sight of all men. That if you are offended, what does the Bible say? Maybe we'll go to Matthew chapter 18 and it talks about how we ought to deal with offense. And I think one of the greatest things to do is when you are offended, in order to not take revenge and to continue this cycle of just craziness, is to talk about it. Matthew 18 is how we deal with it, of course, in the church, but I think it's a great principle just in general. When someone offends us, if you look at verse number 15, it says, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And I think to be honest is, if someone hurts you and someone wrongs you, to confront them and say, hey, what you did, it really hurt me. You know, that was wrong. And I just want to get it right with you, because if I'm not right with you, the Bible says that, you know, our lives are filled with relationships. And our relationship, of course, with the Lord is primary and it's most important. And I read a book called The Calvary Road, and it's a great short little book. It would take maybe, you know, if you could actually sit down and read it in a couple hours if you're a fast reader. It's probably about 6 or 7 chapters, short chapters, you know, 5 or 6 pages, tiny little book. But it talks about how, in order to have revival, it's a great book on revival, on personal revival, and I encourage you to read it. But it talks about how if we're not right with God, then we're not right with people, and we're going to have conflicts with people. And that's why you see people who are unsaved and they don't have a relationship with God, there's a lot of conflict in life. You know, but even for us as Christians, if we're saved and we're in sin and we're not right with God, of course it's going to pour out into our relationships as with other people. But then the book also goes on to say that if your relationships with people aren't right, then your relationship with God is not going to be right as well. And to think about that is to ask yourself the question is, do I need to get right with anyone today? Is there anything that I'm holding in from the past that it's kind of like I've taken revenge to them? Maybe not in a way that's outspoken. Maybe you kept it in. Maybe it's harbored in your heart. But the Bible says to be honest. And I believe it's saying, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear it, then thou hast gained thy brother. You see, because our life is all about relationships. And the greatest thing to do is that we could say, like Paul, that we are devoid of offense both toward God and man. You know, and to live a life with a conscience clear that, man, I don't have any burden. I don't have any ought against anyone. Man, this is good. Because when we do, we live a life of burden. We live a life that, man, we always wonder why there's something wrong. Why is there always conflicts? But I think the first part to understanding that revenge is not ours is that we be honest and we confront the person. Because sometimes that's the greatest thing that we can do. And that mends the broken relationship. But then I also want you to notice that we ought to seek peace. You see, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11, it says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. And that goes in line with verse number 18. It says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. God calls us not only to be honest and to make sure we have good, we're on good terms in our relationships with others, but also to seek peace and pursue it. You know, so often conflict can come up and conflict can come up and we can just let it grow and grow and grow into this monster. And you look back and you're like, man, why is it like this? Why are we in this cycle? Why is there so much hatred, so much bitterness, so much unforgiveness, and envy and jealousy or whatever it is? It's because we're not seeking peace. You see, if we're seeking peace and pursuing it, that changes things. You know, you think about all the unrest that's going on in our world and, you know, North Korea and everything that's going on. I don't even keep up with it because it just makes you worry, you know. Maybe it's not good. Maybe it's ignorance is not bliss. Sometimes it's good to know. But when they seek peace and pursue it, it really helps. You know, but so often we want our own way and we want to be right, and there's no wrong answer. Everyone else is wrong and we're right. And I think really what it comes down to is humility. You know, we ought to be honest, we ought to seek peace, and we ought to be humble. Because in order for us to be humble, we're never going to go ask someone and say, hey, you offended me. Or even if we're in the opposite party, and we're the offender. We're the one that did evil to someone else. And as Christian, God calls us to humble ourselves. You know, as Christians, God calls us to go and to, you know, if you have aught against your brother, the Bible says leave your offering and go and ask for forgiveness. And I think it's both ways, because God calls us as Christians to be different. And we ought to be different than the world, because we want people to see our lives and we want them to point to Jesus and say, wow, I want that. Not, man, I want to get as far away from that as possible. If that's what it means to be a Christian, I'm out of here. You know, I don't want none of that. And we ought to live in such a way that we cause people to say, man, they should hate me right now, but why are they blessing me? You know, they should love me, but, I mean, they should hate me, but why do they love me? Well, because we have Christ living in us. So the first command that Christ calls us is that revenge is not ours. But I want you to notice the second thing is recompense is the Lord's. Look at verse 19. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, give place, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I want you to notice, we first got to give it to God. You know, we got to let it go is one of the greatest things, because so often we can harbor it and we can hold it and we can say it's mine and I'm going to deal with it and don't bother me with it. But the first step in order to know that God is in control and God's going to have his way and they're going to pay for it on God's timing, it's to say, here you go, God. I can't do it because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, and I'm going to give place to you. I'm going to understand that it's you. You're the just judge. I'm not the just judge. And I'm going to let you deal with it. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Notice it says casting all your care. All of it, not just some of it, not just the ones that we can't handle, but it says all of our care. Casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. And that's a cool thought, that God, the God in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that holds all things together by the word, by the breath of his word, the Bible says, he cares about us. And he loves us. You know, and I think about the hymn, how Jesus knows about all about our troubles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's no other friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. You know, we have a God in heaven who we can go to, and if there's bitterness being harbored, and if there's unforgiveness being harbored, and you may not even know it, you may have to pray and ask the Lord, is there anything there? Because it hinders us from doing God's will. It hinders us from loving like Christ loved. We got to give it over to God. We got to say, Lord, I'm laying it on the altar. Pray you'd help me to mend that relationship that's broken. I pray you'd help me to forgive that person that hurt me. I pray that you would help me to heal from the wounds that have been so deeply and scarred me. We got to understand that recompense is of the Lord. So avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We got to give it to him. And then once we give it to him, notice we got to trust him. We got to understand that his plan is the blessed plan. If you go to Isaiah 55, it's a really good verse. Because our perspective is far different than God's. You know, we see things from, I heard it said the illustration, you know, we can only see so far. You know, you think about if you look out, if you're at the beach today or whenever, and you look out, they say you can only see 2 to 3 miles out. You know, and if you're up higher, you have a better vantage point. But you think about a bird, you know, that's flying over the ocean, 200 feet over the ocean. They can see a lot farther than you can. You know, and then you think about if you're inside of an airplane going to the mainland, you can see a lot further than you would if you were standing on the ground on the shore of a beach or even where the bird would be. But think about if you're in space in the Hubble telescope. Your perspective gets a lot greater, gets a lot bigger. And so often we can look at things in our shoes, in our perspective, and say, man, I can only see that far. Why do I see clouds on the horizon? Why doesn't it look like a sunny day when it ought to be? But then if we see things through God's perspective, it's like looking at it from space, where you get not the bird's eye view, but you get the God's eye view. And you say, Lord, I don't understand it right now, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely on you. Isaiah 55, verse number 8, I think it is. I'll go there. But it's our perspective that really helps. When we trust God, we ought to understand that he's the God of heaven. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and there's nothing too hard for him, as the Bible says. If I'll get there, Isaiah 55. And I think this is a great verse. If you have a hard time understanding what God's doing in your life right now, and even in the future, and even or in the past, and you're like, man, I don't get it. Because what happens if we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness and we let the evil get the best of us, that happens to us, we can get bitter against God. We can not only get bitter against others, but against the Lord. But look at what it says in Isaiah 55, verse number 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Look at what he says. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's having God's perspective. And sometimes we're not going to see it through God's eyes, and we're going to see it through our eyes, but what we ought to do is we ought to say, Lord, your plan's far better than my plan. You see it all the way through from the end to the beginning, and you know every step of the way, and I don't. I can only see so far. I can see step 1, 2, and 3 that I got to take, but you see all of them. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to understand that your thoughts, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and your ways aren't my ways, but your thoughts are higher than mine. Just like if I were to be in space and look down at the earth, I can see far greater. I can see more, and I have a better perspective than if I were to be at the beach looking across the ocean. And we ought to give it to God and understand that he has a plan. He's going to work it out and recognize that vengeance is his. We got to give it to him. And we got to trust him. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And the crazy thing is, God commands us to understand that revenge is not ours and recompense is his. But notice with me lastly, he commands us to react in good and not evil. Verse number 20 of Romans 12, if you'll go back there. It's crazy. It says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. says, if he thirst, give him drink. Why? It says, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, we got to recognize that we're in a battle as Christians. And we fight against the devil, the flesh, and this world. And Satan's out to get us. And he wants us to be overcome of evil. You know, for he's a liar and the father of it, as the Bible says. And he loves evil. He would be probably the epitome of evil, would be Satan, right? But God calls us to be not overcome by evil. But he gives us the key and says, in order to overcome evil, in other words, is to do it by doing good. And for us, that's contrary, but you think about the whole Christian life, and that's why I started out with, you know, the Christian life is contrary to everything that we know, everything that the world would teach, the ideologies and philosophies of this present world age. But one thing I find as I walk with God is that if you do it the Bible way, it doesn't make sense, but it works. And, you know, I heard it said that wisdom is understanding how God created life to work and doing it his way. And you think about this in regards to relations with others, because we're going to have enemies. You know, anyone who's not against us, or, you know, we think about the people that hate Christians just in general. You know, and maybe not in particular in your personal life or whatever, but people hate us. You know, people do all that they can. There's atheists out there who live their life trying to disprove God. And I find it ironic, because if you don't believe in God, then why do you spend your whole life trying to disprove him? You know, if I didn't believe in unicorns, I don't believe in unicorns, but I'm not going to spend my entire life saying, you, if you believe in unicorns, you're foolish. I mean, you would be foolish, but who cares? But the reason why is because they know that there is a God, because they know it because of their conscience and because of creation. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, I can see how a man can look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but he said, I don't know how a man can look into the heavens and say that there is no God. And to know that there is a God and to do it his way, it works. And I encourage you, I know it doesn't make sense, but the Bible says to feed, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing this, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, and God calls us to react in good and not evil, to stop the evil and to say, I'm not going to react like my carnal nature. I'm going to do what Christ says. By his power and through his strength and by his grace, I'm going to bless those that curse me. I'm going to love those that hate me. I'm going to pray for those, you know, not that they die, but that they'll get saved. I'm going to pray for those that persecute me and despitefully use me. Why? That we would not be overcome of evil, but that we would overcome evil with good. You see, because when we try to overcome evil with evil, you probably been through that. You know the result of it. But when you overcome evil with good, something happens. People look at you like, why aren't you doing anything? I'll pray for you. You know, instead of getting angry and wrathful and say, you're going to pay for it. Say, I'm going to pray for you. I love you. And it drives people crazy because they want you to react to their wickedness. And that's what I believe it means when it says, and in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And something shameful. Because if someone's acting out and if someone's wronged you, and, you know, our natural tendency is like, Kit, get ready for the recompense, you know. But if they don't get that and they get a blessing, we're like, what? Why'd he do that? You know, why are they not, they shouldn't be reacting that way. You know, even in a relationship. If you're fighting with your spouse or whatnot and they, you know, I don't know your story, but, you know, sometimes relationships get crazy. But what does the Bible say? It says a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. And for us to bless people is a soft answer. And a soft answer, as the Bible says, turneth away wrath. And it's a really hard thing to deal with, though. It's easy to say, and it's really hard to do. To be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. But it's what Scripture calls us to do. And I'll close with this, that we can't do it on our own. You know, we can try, but so many times in Scripture, Paul says, "For in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And I never got this verse. You know, I in Bible college my freshman year, I was always like, yeah, chapel every day is awesome. And, you know, you're crying and you go run to the altar and you repent and this and that. And you're like, I'm going to change, Lord. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm going to love people. And I'm going to bless people. Then something happens and someone wrongs you. And you're like, I'm going to get you back. Don't worry. You know, and then you're like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to do that. And then you're like, oh, and then you get discouraged because you can't do it. And you're like, I failed. And why did I fail? Well, because in me and in my strength dwelleth no good thing. In myself dwelleth no good thing, as the Bible says. And that's a good verse. I think it's Romans 7:18. If you mark it down, it's right around there. But Paul says this at the end of that verse, and I never got it till after that because I was, like, discouraged. Like, the end of that freshman year, I was like, man, why am I, like, I'm, like, terrible. I can't do this. I want to do it. But it says, maybe we'll go there, because if you're in Romans 12, it's just a couple pages over. But it's a really good thought, and I want to share it with you. Because I say all this to say is we can't do it in ourselves. We can't bless people that curse us. We can't love people that hate us. We can't pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, because in our of ourself, as it says right here in Romans 7:18, it says, dwelleth no good thing. Paul says this, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my carnal nature, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Today, we may have the will to perform that which is good. We may have the will to do it. You want to do it. Yes, I understand that that's the Bible way. I want to obey the Bible. But the Bible says, Paul says this. This is his struggle of his flesh, Romans 7, that all of us face. For to will is present with me. But look at that last phrase. It says, but how to perform that which is good? He says, I find not. I don't know how to do it. I try to do it in myself. I want to do good. I want to live for God. But I find not. And in John chapter number 5, I think it's verse number 5, Christ says, you know, abide in me and I in you, for apart from me, ye can do nothing. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, it says, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, and then we think about the Christian life in a nutshell is Galatians 2:20. It says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. For the Christian life is not a life of legalism. It's not a life of fear. It's a life of faith. And for us to walk by faith is for us to access God's power. For us to realize that in and of myself, I can't do it. But by His grace, I can. Through grace, I can do all things. For His grace is sufficient, and His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I challenge you to do this. As I went through this Romans 12, it all starts with verse number 1. And I'll read it again. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in order for us as a church to do Romans 7 through 21, that we would be not overcome with evil, but we would overcome evil with good, that we would be able to bless those that curse us and love those that hate us and pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. We first got to be surrendered to God, yielded to His Spirit, and walking by faith and not by sight. Because we want to do it, we will to do it, but how to perform, as Paul says, we find not. But through Christ, what's impossible to man is possible with God. We got to get back to it, because so often I find myself trying to do good without God. And I find myself falling miserably, failing miserably. But then when I'm like, man, it's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and I heard a preacher say one time that the Christian life is not you doing your best. In fact, the Christian life is really hard. And he said the Christian life actually, frankly, is impossible. And we got to let the only one who ever lived the Christian life live it through us. And that's the Lord Jesus. We fail when we do it ourselves. We fail when we try to love with our love. But in order for us to not be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good, we ought to be surrendered to God and say, God, live through me that I can love like you. Live through me that I can do good to those that do evil to me. That I can say as you say, Father, forgive them. And I forgive them. And I commit them to your hands, because vengeance is yours, and you'll repay. You have a perfect plan which I don't understand, but I trust you because you are my God and you love me. And I pray you would empower me. And so may we be Christians that would make a difference, that we would bless those that curse us. That people would see our lives and say, man, that's pretty amazing. How do they do that? Say, well, let me tell you about him. His name's Jesus. He's the one that empowers me. May we be a church that blesses those that curse us. May we be different in such a way that people see our life and it points them to Christ in a good way. Shall we pray? Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. We pray that you would help us. Would you deal with any unforgiveness, any bitterness that may be, any ought against a brother or even a coworker or someone that wronged that maybe we have to go to, and we have to talk to, and we have to confess, or even if we are the one, the offending party, where we have wronged someone, and we have to go and humble ourselves. Lord, help us to be a church of humility, that you would live through us, that you would empower us, that we would live, and we would not be overcome with evil, but we would overcome evil with good, just as you did, Lord. May you help us. May you bless this church. May you be with pastors. He preaches in a few minutes, and may you do a work. May you send revival in our hearts that, Lord, we would be revived, that this world would see the gospel through our life that we would live in. So Lord, help us to live the gospel, to give grace. And I'll thank you for all that you do. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. We've got 13 minutes of service. You are dismissed. If you're a guest, we...